All right, church family, if you would, take God's word back out once again, have it before you as we start to finish Revelation chapter 8. I'm just going to see how time goes. I might get into Revelation chapter 9, but that might be about 12:15. So just sit back and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth this morning with no fear whatsoever. We're looking at God's wrathful judgment and the seal judgments we've studied, and we began the trumpet judgments last Sunday, and we're going to continue with that theme, the wrathful judgment of God, as we continue to look at the trumpet judgments this morning. Our main lesson this morning is that God's wrathful judgment wreaks horrific devastation and harm on the earth, the heavens, and the unbelievers on earth. An old country preacher was challenged by a highly educated agnostic. The skeptic asked, "Why do you Christians constantly claim assurance of victory in the battle of eternity?" The old preacher replied, "Well, son, it says in the beginning of my Bible that God was in charge when time started up. Then I flips over to the end of my Bible and reads that God will be in charge when time runs down. So I figure that twixt the beginning and twixt the end, we're nobody else big enough to whoop him." Now that's some good theology. There is no power on heaven or in earth that is big enough to whoop the Heavenly Father. Amen? Amen. And as we have studied the book of Revelation, especially the wrathful judgment of God, we have seen over and over and over again that God is in complete control of everything. And our praise to Him is just simply hallelujah. Hallelujah, God's in control. And what we see, what hopefully we'll see this morning a little later, is that we'll see that He tells the angels to blow their trumpets, and they blow them. He gives Satan the key to the shaft of the abyss. Let me say that again. Satan doesn't have the key, but it's the Lord God who has the key, and He gives the key to Satan when He pleases to give the key to Satan. And what does Satan do with the key? Exactly what the Lord wants him to do. He tells the demon horde that comes out of the abyss what they can and what they cannot do. And they listen. He puts a limit on their ferocious attack, and they do no more than what He has allowed them to do. You see, God wants all of His people to know that He is in control, that we can live abundantly knowing that fact, that one day in the end, everything is going to be okay. And until we get there, everything is going to be okay because the Lord is in control. And as the old preacher said, twixt the beginning and twixt the end, ain't nobody else big enough to whoop our God. And praise the Lord for that. With the seven seal judgments complete, God launches a second round of His wrathful judgment on the earth. And so far what we've learned when it comes to the seven trumpet judgments of God, We have seen in Revelation chapter 8 these things. Number one, this is what we've seen. Point number one, that God's wrathful judgment and the prayers of His people are connected. That God works providentially through the prayers of His people as He answers them. Point number two, we saw this, that God's wrathful judgment will bring devastating destruction upon the heavens and the earth. We saw that in chapter 8, verses 6 through 12 last Sunday, or we're getting there anyway. And so what we've learned about the trumpet blast is this, that God's wrathful judgment blasts the land, verses 6 through 7. We saw that God's wrathful judgment blasts the seas in verses 8 through 9. And so the land has been blasted by His judgment, the seas have, and God's not done with that yet. And so the third trumpet judgment, God blasts the springs and the rivers on earth. So that's what we're going to pick up today. So look at verses 10 through 11 with me in your Bibles. Revelation chapter 8, verses 10 through 11. God's wrathful judgment blasts the rivers and the springs. The third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from heaven, blazing like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you now, and we pray, Lord, that through the reading of your word, that you would feed us, feed our souls, and feed our minds, that we would know you better, that we would trust you more, and that we would serve you more fervently. As we see, all things are working according to your purposes. And Lord, may you be praised. So Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the treasure of this your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So once again, a third angel blows the trumpet at the request of the Lord, and as a consequence, the Lord sends another object from the heavens to display his anger with the sinful inhabitants of the earth. And his holiness requires him to do justice. And with this judgment, he is fulfilling his justice upon the inhabitants of the earth. That is, the unbelievers of the earth. So God is not acting out of character. He is acting fully within his divine character. He is full of mercy. He is full of grace. And he is also full of holiness, and he is full of justice. Remember what the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And so God is dealing with these sinners with his wrathful judgment. This time, there's a great star that falls to the earth from the heavens that brings the wrathful judgment of God as he blasts the rivers and the springs. He's already tore up the salt waters. Now he's going to demonstrate his wrathful judgment upon the drinking water of the earth, the non-salty waters of the earth. So notice the star looked like a torch. It looked like a torch. It was seen by all. If you recall, he blasts this star from heaven. And the point of this is you couldn't help but seeing the stars across the backdrop of the darkness of the heavens. So the judgments of God are coming from the throne room of God and going to the earth. So it is a display that the only finger, the only thing that you can point your finger at for the reason of these cosmic disturbances hitting the earth is God. God. And so what better way to demonstrate that than this star being hurled from the heavens against the blackness of the heavens, burning with light. Now, another thing we see here is the accuracy of God's judgment. God's judgment is to blast the rivers and the springs of the earth. And so this star only does that. It does no more damage and no less damage than God wanted it to do. You see, he will always be in control of his justice, and he will always deal out his justice justly. And that's what we're seeing here. It went right where God had ordained it to go, just like the hail and the fire mixed with blood and the mountain-like blazing object that hit the seas. God is accurate in his judgment. God has a plan, and he is executing his plan perfectly. The salty seas are blasted. Now the fresh water ways are blasted. And notice, this star is given a name, wormwood, verse 11. Wormwood is a shrub whose leaves are used in the making of, and I'm not sure if I'm saying this right, absinthe, which is a liqueur so toxic that its manufacturing is banned in many countries across the world. So in the Old Testament, wormwood was associated with poison, with bitterness and death, the judgment of God, if you will. And so the fresh water supply of earth will be polluted with this toxic agent, and the result will then be death of many people. That's what the Bible says. The second part of verse 11, many people died from the water because it had been made bitter. Well, who are the many people that are going to die from this water? All peoples of the world. People, unbelieving people from every tribe, every tongue, and every language, and every nation. Now, what age will this judgment encompass? Well, it'll encompass from babies to the very oldest and everyone in between. That's who's going to die from this, from the wrathful judgment of God. And again, that all three of these trumpet judgments, objects of God's wrath coming from heaven down to earth, is no coincidence. It is so that God is seen as the one who is bringing this wrathful judgment to the face of the earth. God is speaking very loud, church family. He's speaking very clear. His judgment is nothing to play around with, nothing at all to play around with. And so he blasts the rivers and the springs. Now, that brings us to the fourth trumpet judgment this morning. And the fourth trumpet judgment, God blasts the constellations. Look with me at verse 12 of Revelation chapter 8. Verse 12 of Revelation chapter 8. The fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of their light might be darkened, and a third of the day might be kept from shining, and likewise a third of the night. So with this fourth trumpet judgment, day and night will be affected by this trumpet judgment. As you said, as you heard when I read, a third of the day and a third of the night, there will be no light. None whatsoever. Think what happens. Think this through with me. Think what happens when a third of the sun is gone. Now, the earth is perfectly located within the solar system that we are in, so that it's not too close to the earth so it doesn't burn up, and so that it's not too far away from the earth so that things won't freeze. And the overall temperature of the earth is a balmy, I think, 55 degrees. Now, that's the average temperature of the whole earth. And the reason why it can stay that way is because of this thing called CO2. CO2 in the upper atmosphere acts as an insulator so that part of the sun's rays get through, and those part that gets through bounce back up off the earth's crust into the heavens, and they can't go any further than the ozone layer because it keeps those temperatures inside of that earth's atmosphere so that we have an average balmy temperature of 55 degrees around the world. That's the way it works. Now, can you imagine how drastically temperatures are going to drop when a third of the sun does not shine any longer? You know, I hear global warming, global warming, global warming. It ain't going to be global warming. It's going to be worldwide freezing. When God topples the normalcy of how He has designed the earth to function, it all falls apart. It just absolutely all falls apart. because we need CO2, and CO2 is a non-poisonous gas in the levels we have them on Earth. And the only place it's poisonous is near the ozone layer, and I don't know any human that lives there. And we need CO2 because that CO2 is used in this thing called hypothesis. Photosynthesis hypothesis. Excuse me, I had a senior moment there. I know many of you can appreciate that with me. Can I get an amen? Photosynthesis. And photosynthesis uses sunlight to create sugars in plants, and that's how we get food. Now, can you imagine the disruption in this natural process of photosynthesis when a third of the sun is no longer there? It's going to be cold. Now, on the other hand, the moon is what regulates the tides of the earth. And when you whack a third of the moon off, can you imagine the mess it's going to make with the tidal system on earth? No longer is it going to be regulated. No longer are you going to know when high tide or low tide is going to be. Parts of the coast are going to be completely underwater. And the shipping lanes are going to be messed up. Ports are going to be messed up. And we already know that a third of the ocean has been wiped out. A third of the ships, a third of the seafood has been gone already. And can you imagine? A third of the sun, we're going to be freezing. A third of the moon, tidal waves, tsunamis everywhere. And the world is going to be chaotic. All by the design of the Lord. God's wrathful judgment will blast the constellations, and it will cause global problems like we have never seen them before. I'm so thankful that I ain't going to be here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if you are a Christian who comes to faith after the tribulation time begins, you will be sealed and you will be safe because God's going to protect His own. All right, so that finishes the first four trumpet judgments. And I've got about 8 minutes to preach the fifth trumpet judgment. And 8 minutes is just not enough. So I'm going to wet your whistle so that you'll want to come back next Sunday and learn more about this fifth trumpet judgment. Actually, I about got ahead of myself. Let's look at verse 13. Let's look at verse 13. I got enough time to preach verse 13. Verse 13 says this: God's wrathful judgment will be spelled out in a triple woe to the unbelievers on earth. Look with me. Then I looked and I heard an eagle crying with a loud voice as it flew directly overhead. Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. So John sees an eagle in the heavens, a large bird of prey. It's flying above the whole earth, and his voice is loud and clear. And what he's doing is a public service announcement to all those who dwell on earth. Now, in Revelation, the phrase, those who dwell on earth, refers specifically to unbelievers, the unbelievers that are on the earth. So this public announcement that God's going to have aired throughout all the heavens around the earth will be an undeniable announcement. That is, everyone will hear it. The media will not be able to conceal this message. The media will not be able to change this message. The media will not be able to label it as disinformation. The governments of the earth will not be able to blackmail or censor the regal proclaimer to change the message. People will hear it with their own ears, and they will see this eagle, this eagle with their own eyes, and they will hear the threatening announcement that is coming from the Lord God. And the announcement goes like this, Verse 13, woe, woe, woe to those who dwell on the earth at the blasts of the other trumpets that the three angels are about to blow. In other words, as bad as it is, it's going to get worse. So this announcer begins with a portentous proclamation with a triple woe. Now, anytime you read woe in Scripture, pay attention. Because what follows it is it usually has something to do with the judgment of God or something that God doesn't like. So woe throughout Scripture is used as an expression of the judgment of God and its destructive nature and the condemnation of God. And it means certain doom is coming when God pronounces a woe. Now, a single woe is bad enough, but this is a triple woe, a triple woe. So the triple woe, it means that this will take place for sure and for certain. That it is a triple woe means it is going to bring cataclysmic and horrific damage to the earth and the inhabitants of the earth. Each woe is attached to each of the three trumpet judgments that are left to come. And these three trumpet judgments will be even more devastatingly painful than the first four. And those were pretty painful, church family. The triple woe spells out certain doom for those who dwell on the earth, specifically to the unbelievers on the earth. Because remember, we'll see with the fifth seal judgment that fifth trumpet judgment that God has sealed the believers and He is protecting them. They will be protected from the blasts of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet judgment. They will be protected from the wrath of God because, if you will, they're covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. So as we've gone through these first four judgments and the seven seal judgments of God, I want to finish with four things that we can learn about God from these seal and trumpet judgments. Four things. Number one, and I think this is important. It sounds so simple, but it is important. God is great. Amen? God is great. There is no power, there is no authority greater than the Lord God. And the Bible tells us that one day, every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow. He is great. And because He is great, He is not to be taken lightly. Oh, the fact that the world takes God so lightly is frightening. And what's even more frightening is if saved people are to take God too lightly. We must not take Him too lightly. Number two, these judgments of the Lord, these wrathful judgments, show us His fury and His indignation towards unbelievers. Those who are not covered with the blood of Christ, they infuriate God. And so this all points to the fact of the dangerous truthfulness of God's word. When God says the things that He hates those things. When God condemns sin, He condemns sin. And so God and His fury are released. Number three, not only is God great, not only is His fury great, but number three, God takes sin more seriously than we do sometimes. Can I get an amen or an uh-oh? God takes sin seriously. How serious does He take sin, Pastor David? Well, I wouldn't point to the wrath of God to show how seriously He takes sin, although I could, but I would point to the Son of God, that He would not withhold Him, but
hand him as a sacrifice, that he would become the Lamb of God which takes away the sins of the world. How seriously does God take sin? That he would give his one and only Son to be a sacrifice, so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't know about y'all. I've been upset with a few of my kids, but I'd never give them away. Amen? That's how serious God takes sin. Number four, the Bible gives us a full-orbed understanding of the nature of God. And what the Bible teaches us about his nature is that God is loving and he is merciful. And we see that in the midst of the tribulation time as God sends out the 144,000 Jewish evangelists to evangelize the world, and it's the greatest revival that the world has ever known, that people from every tribe, tongue, nation, and language come to faith in Jesus Christ, even during the tribulation time. God is merciful. God is loving. God is kind. Hallelujah. Amen? But that's not all God is. God is holy. He is righteous, and he is just. And we get this full orb picture of God in the book of Revelation, that he's not one or the other, but he is both and. And so I'm thankful for the strong theology of who God is that we are seeing in the book of Revelation, that he is gracious and merciful, that he is loving, but he is also righteous, he is also holy, and he is also just. And that's who God is. He's not more of one. He's not more loving than he is just. He's not more gracious than he is righteous. But he is fully all of these things all of the time. And so it's a wonderful theology that we're given this picture of who God is. So who is God? God is loving, merciful, and gracious. And God is righteous and holy and just. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let me finish with another little story this morning as we wrap up our time together this morning. And next Sunday, I promise we'll get into the fifth trumpet judgment of God, okay? And it's a big one. So God's wrathful judgment wreaks horrific devastation and harm on the earth, the heavens, and what we're going to see with the fifth trumpet judgment on the unbelievers of the earth. Now, Badger Stadium in Madison, Wisconsin, was packed with 60,000 University of Wisconsin fans as they were watching their beloved football team get a beating of a lifetime by Michigan State. And what seemed odd at this football game was that as the score became more and more lopsided against the Wisconsin football team, every so often there would be loud shouts of cheering. So can you imagine that you've got Wisconsin fans, their football team's getting beat, but all of a sudden they start cheering out loud. It seems like that shouldn't be. But as it turns out, about 70 miles away at Badger Stadium, the Milwaukee Brewers were beating the St. Louis Cardinals in Game 3 of the World Series, and many of the Badger fans at the football stadium were listening on their portable radios to the baseball game, and they were responding to the baseball game while their football team was getting shellacked at the football field. So you had this horrific situation, but you had people cheering all at the same time. Now, if that doesn't sound like life, I don't know what does. Isn't that life for us as believers? In many ways, that is an accurate description of the Christian walk on this earth. We might be in the midst of horrible circumstances and bad times, and yet we always have something to cheer about. We always do. Now, my hope is this, as we study the book of Revelation more and more, that we can know that without a doubt, the sure and certain victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can cheer. Amen? We can cheer. And here's the thing to remember, Because Jesus has victory, everyone on His team has victory too. Hallelujah. We are the champions, my friends. And let's not ever forget that. We're on the winning side. No matter what's going on in the world, we're on the winning side. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning and thank You for giving us Your word. It is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we thank You, Father, that it is written down by men carried along by the Holy Spirit, that what we would get would be every word that You would want us to get. And so we praise You. Lord, we thank You for just revealing who You are to us as we study through the book of Revelation. And it just recapitulates everything that we know about You before the book of Revelation, that You are a great God, and we give You praise. And Father, I pray right now that if there is someone here this morning or in the hearing of my voice online that is not on the winning team, that today would be a day of salvation, that they would humbly and repentantly come to You, confess their sins, and profess their faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And Lord, the Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. We're not promised tomorrow. So I pray, Father God, that those folks who You are calling, that they would come to You and receive You as their Savior and walk with You as their Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.